Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Rewind your mind. Loosely.
All right. Here goes nothing.
Hello, kiddies. Welcome to the TagCast podcast. Doomisode 504. I don't know why I said that. My name's Terry Guile. And behind me is the new Black Sabbath. In front of me is my co-host.
I'm Gatch.
Brought to you by Gatch's Coffee.
Dude, it's hot in here.
I know. You copped up a sweat.
I did.
It is kind of warm. It's muggy. It's been warm and muggy all weekend. Happy Monday to you. It's the end of the beginning right now. Got some Black Sabbath rolling in the background. Sounds a lot like the song Black Sabbath.
New album?
Yeah, it's called 13. It's a new album.
Thanks, Ozzy, for setting up my question.
Is it the end of the beginning? You blew my punchline, John. I'm going to call him John Osborne from now on, because that's his name. But I've heard a lot of good stuff about this, so I had to go ahead and download it off of my phone there for free. Because I had 10 friends that bought it, so I figured after I found out 10 friends bought it, I could download it for free without causing them too much financial difficulties. You know, and I like it and stuff, but I'm still kind of wondering why they got the drummer from Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave. He sounds like he does a great job.
Is there changes on it?
Changes?
Yeah.
What do you mean? The song changes by
like one of those funky songs that come out of nowhere and are just like, what the fuck?
Not really, no. I pretty much listened to the whole thing one time through. And I would agree with most people. They're saying that it's the best stuff Ozzy's done. Actually, super fan Jared Nelson quoted it as saying, the best album Ozzy has been on since Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
Now, do you believe that?
It's possibly true. Because even though the Ozzy solo albums like Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman were good shit.
A Buck at the Moon.
Yeah, Ultimate Sin. They never lived up to even Never Say Die. And even, sorry, Dio fans, nothing lives up to like the first five Sabbath
sure,
albums.
Sure. As I mean, good as, you know, I mean, you can put on Heaven and Hell. It's an enjoyable listen.
It's great. Mob Rules, awesome.
Yeah.
Even, like, Headless Cross isn't bad. And, like, the one with Zero the Hero, yeah. Some of the Ian Gillan ones are good. But now I'm listening to some of the songs on this new album, and maybe I'll speculate a bit because I like to do that. They got Rick Rubin producing. I'm thinking he's trying to push them to emulate what they used to be, and he did a good job of it. This song here, it starts out with a riff that's eerily similar to the song Black Sabbath. A different melody line, so it kind of would fool you into thinking that it's not. And then they do this kind of dugga-dugga-dugga-dugga-dugga in the middle, just mm-hmm. like the song Black Sabbath does. So not that they're ripping themselves off, but and I hear a lot of influences because you haven't heard any new Black Sabbath for like 20 years almost mm-hmm. from like doom bands that are playing now. But you know that it's reverse influence because Sabbath influenced them in the first place. The doom shit's going on, you know. I hear High on Fire. I hear a little bit of Yob sometimes in the guitar vibrato of the chords. And that seems like a great album, though. I'm stoked for them. I might actually buy it.
Speaking of guitars, I was listening to a song the other day, and it made me wonder, like, how you would go about writing a song like that. like from a musical thing, and the song was More Human Than Human.
Yeah, do you think that was based around a drum machine loop to where they kind of jammed to it or something?
Might have been, but I was just like, I mean, I'm familiar with the song. Everybody's familiar with the song. But I'd never like just like sat and broke down like the guitar before. Yeah, and then he does that little intro, and then he pauses. And then it's just all drums while, you know, it's the
See, I'm thinking that Rob...
Is that a drum machine, though? But it, or
I think
is,
so.
Is it?
I know they had a drummer on the album right before that, and I thought that they still had a drummer, and they had a drummer on tour, but I think they started experimenting with drum loops, and maybe the guy recorded the drums live, and then they affected it to make it sound kind of drum machine-y, or, but yeah... kind of where I started losing them, but a song like that, when you think about how they wrote it, it seems to me like Rob Zombie probably had this more human than you, man.
Yeah, but did he go like, no, I want you to do these like little noisy, like alien, spacey. You're doing like the slides up the neck, and then you just stop, and then it's just drums
and a little
and
bass.
Then when you get to near the core, when you get to the core, you do that.
See, and I don't know if he's one of those musical masterminds that even though he only sings live, he probably plays guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He writes soundtracks and scripts and stuff like that. So he's probably one of those guys that just kind of plays everything. Maybe, but it seems like the album before that was way more guitar-oriented and more like they wrote those songs as a band.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this is kind of, that's probably his turning point in between Rob Zombie solo and, like, White Zombie, but I don't know.
You think he wrote those songs, like, on a machine, so instead of the guitars?
Probably.
Ooh, it probably went, like the Cypress Hill thing, and he's like, I'm going to have to do my Cypress Hill thing on the guitar. So he kind of did that, and then Rob was like, yeah, I like that.
Maybe it was just in his head, you know, and he wrote all the lyrics and had the drum beat and then said, I want you to do something weird, like you said, just slide up and then slide up farther and then slide up.
And then I want you to stop playing.
And think about it for a minute because it's my band.
Yeah. Let me speak.
Yeah. Stop. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's a good song in a way.
Songwriting techniques.
I don't know. It's been overplayed.
Yeah, I
but you know, they did start to lose me in the More Human Than Human era, even though I bought that album. And
I
gave it quite a few listens to, but I never really went beyond that with Rob Zombie. I never went into the, even though I liked the song Dragula.
Yeah.
You know, I never really bought Hellbilly Deluxe or
Living Dead Girl was a cool song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have any of those.
I always liked all the songs that came on the radio for the most part.
But just a little bit too...
Yeah.
Or something. Not as organic and not just drums, bass, and vocals, which some people get tired of that, but I don't. That's what music is to me. I mean, you can add a keyboard or a horn.
Mm-hmm.
It's still music. But once you start going... That's like that's just like pushing a button on your Casio and jamming at the house.
Yeah,
I can write a riff around that.
Mm.
So yeah, this song clocking in over 8 minutes. So Sabbath still doing the long songs, the doomy interludes. Just to get back to that because I know it's fading out right now. So go out and buy the new Black Sabbath, you guys,
or go out and buy some old Black Sabbath.
Both, if you have Cricket. Which I'll plug them because they give me a good deal. They give me a discount because I'm on food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the Oregon Trail card, they give you like $26 off your monthly bill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I take that.
That's cool.
And then they have this thing called Move Music, which is standardly loaded into your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty much get any album full for free.
Wow.
It's hard to get it off. Just like me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's hard to get it off your phone onto your computer. You got to do some shit. So it doesn't make it easy to burn it onto a CD. So
yeah, you just plug that right into here. You know
if you just have it in your phone, you can listen to it in my car. I can listen
to it.
You go
and buy like a little Tascam recorder. You can just plug it right in there and
MP3.
And MP3.
Yeah, just one song
just
at a
like
time.
I did with the Django movie.
That's right.
The Django! Why do I still
you
put the D in there?
You black son of a bitch!
Why do I put the D in there?
The D is silent, nigga.
The Django.
Because you silly Indian.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it's been really humid this last weekend, even though it's Monday. Well, no, we'll be honest. We're recording on Father's Day today. Also, I'd like to
Happy Father's Day, man.
Thank you. Quick shout-out to my son, my stepson, Mike. his birthday fell on Father's Day today, so he got kind of dicked. He got screwed because he has to share his day with me. But, but then, you know, he gets a free happy birthday out of me by just telling me happy Father's Day. He's like, because I told him after midnight last night, and then today I saw him. He's like, what's up? And I didn't think about it, but he was probably fishing for a happy birthday. So I was like, not much. What's up with you? He's like,
and you were fishing for happy Father's Day.
I wasn't really. I was doing some other shit. So he's like, happy Father's Day. And I was like, oh, thanks. Happy birthday, man.
Yeah.
And then the standard, feel any older? No. Goo, goo, goo. 22 now, so he's a man.
Wouldn't that be odd if on, when your birthday fell on Father's Day, you became a father?
Yeah. And then, bless her heart, which is what you say about people when you think they're dumb, but you want to be nice. Brandon's girlfriend, Holly, bless her heart. She's like, I never knew that Mike was born on Father's Day. And I said, well, he wasn't. She's like, what's his birthday? And it's Father's Day. I go, but Father's Day isn't on the same day every year. And she's like, huh? I was like, it's on the second or third Sunday of the month, so sometimes it's on the 14th, sometimes it's on the... I go, kind of like... And then I blew it and said Christmas, and she's like, Christmas is always on the 25th. And I was like, I didn't mean Christmas, I meant Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's always on a different day, right? She's like, yeah, it's the like fourth Thursday of the month. I go, yeah, well, like Easter. Easter was
or Mother's Day.
Easter was in fucking March this year, first time ever.
So can I ask a question? Because this seems like... something that you would know by the time you've lived 18 years on life, at least, 19, or whatever.
Yeah.
Does she have a? Does she know her father?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
I didn't want to get weird.
You know, it's cool. Like, she's 19, and her dad's only like 37.
So
he had her when she was 16 or 17. Yeah. You know, and they've been together. Her mom and dad, and they're still together. They lost their whole house in Hurricane Katrina.
Oh wow!
And moved up here and lived in Harrisburg for a while. They relocated. They actually had one of those people that help those groups that help people relocate.
So what did they think when they saw the hurricane coming after him up in McMainville?
Yeah, I don't know what they thought. That
they're
little,
like, following us.
They're like, no, we're not afraid of tornadoes, just hurricanes. And her mom talks that weird Cajun talk. Like,
y'all come on down to Salon.
I can't understand sometimes.
It's a very French.
And they knock on
almost
doors.
Almost a French Canadian plus the South.
They knock on doors loudly. Like, I always think the cops are at my house every time they come there. They'll be like, I'm like, Jesus, fuck, who's that? And then she's like, Holly around? I was just looking for my daughter. And I'm like, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. I know that's probably late to you, but there's still people sleeping around here. Could you be quiet? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being too loud. Yes, you're being too loud. Oh, I'll try to quiet down when you say sorry. So, yeah, that hurt my knuckles, actually. I bet she's got sore knuckles. And then she came the other day, and Dana was outside, and she didn't see her. She had just pulled up, and she knocked on the door, and Dana's all, you don't have to knock so loud. And she's like, oh, Mom, sorry. Was I knocking loud? Yeah, you're talking loud right now, too, so please quiet down.
Well, it could be, you know,
bless
I mean,
her heart.
Because, you know, different parts of the nation, you know, I hear, like, over in the East, people are more... Open with strangers, like you just start conversations more with strangers walking down the street or whatever. A lot more people are just like, we're here if that kind of thing, you're almost kind of like a weirdo. You're like,
why are
you bothering me? And then over on the East Coast, it's more of an accepted thing. And maybe in the South, maybe it's just people are just loud. Maybe they got, you know, there's a lot of gunfire going on back in the day.
Well, yeah, and some people are, that's true. Some people are like that, just like, they're just outgoing. And when they see someone, if they're standing in line, they'll say, huh, that's funny about whatever. And they're like, the person might be an introvert, and they're like, they just turn. They don't even say a word.
And then it's good, then you got the introvert thinking, man, that guy's
weird.
He's
stepping on
to
my
me.
Toes.
And then you got the other guy going, man, that guy's rude. He didn't talk back to me.
Exactly. So then they end up killing each other. No, there was had a show on Friday at Cornucopia, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But there was a guy there that was in town from L.A. He kept touting himself as an L.A. comic, which is awesome because that's way more awesome than a Eugene comic, I guess. But I'd never heard of him. And his name was Josiah Black, and he was a white Jew that was born in Thailand.
When you think of, like, an L.A. comic coming down, do you think of, like, a successful L.A. comic coming down or a guy who's not quite successful yet?
Well, when you use that term, it could be construed as L.A. Comic is one of 7
yeah,
million.
That's what I'm saying.
Or you could say I'm a successful, I have a show.
Yeah,
or
he's successful, or he just can't get a gig in L.A., so he's come down here.
I'm on my way to Seattle, and I'm stopping here for the night, and I just wondered if I could pick up a gig. But he did that. A guy came in and sat down towards the front, and he's like, "How you doing, sir?" And the guy just kind of sat down and, like, turned away. And maybe he didn't hear him. The guy had a microphone, but maybe he wasn't paying attention. He's like, "Oh, you're not going to talk to me?" He's like, "Are you like those L.A. hipsters where you just say, 'Hey, pretty good day out today,' and they just, like, look at you, like, weird and turn away, like, 'I don't know you. Why are you speaking to me?'" And
I he's get like, that sometimes yeah, because I'm partly introverted, and sometimes...
You try to go outside the box?
Well, sometimes I'm deaf.
Huh?
And I don't really hear exactly, and, you know, I'm
you
not
shot a lot of
go,
muskets
like,
back in the day?
I'm not in the mood to go, huh, and like,
yeah,
because it's such a short thing, I don't want to go like, huh?
And then
at times, you know, you come across those people that are really soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And I can never hear them. It's like, I'll avoid talking to them. Well, not avoid talking to them, but when they talk to me, it's kind of like a weird thing. Because, you know...
Where you say yeah or nod because you don't hear what they
say.
Yeah,
or if you do, you know, but there just isn't a real relationship there because, you know, it's never bothered to say, "Hey, I'm motherfucking deaf, you might want to speak up." And that person, I've never seen him speak up anyway.
That
you
will
know?
Diffuse
like,
the whole interaction right there. Just like, if I got to yell, dude, I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
You're like, what? It's like... And you can't always just say yeah. Like sometimes I do that. And if it's in
a
loud,
and then they stare at you because they asked you a question and you didn't realize.
Or you said totally, and they're like, "No, you should say yes or no." Mm-hmm. Oh wait, maybe I didn't hear you.
I
right.
can't believe you agreed that people should be out there raping animals.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a good day for fucking little kids, isn't it? You're like, yeah, totally, and you're like, what? You're not even listening to me, or else you're a pedophile. So, yeah, it's tough, you know, because everybody's so different. We were talking about that. My kind of stepson from a former relationship, I was with his mom for 8 years, and they were from the ages of, like, 5 to 13. Hadn't seen him. He's, like, 24 now. He lives in Montana, and he was in town. Got to see him a little bit today, and he was talking about how living in Montana, he's become real introverted, and he kind of self-proclaimed that he does not play well with others. You know, he's like, "I can't really listen to someone tell me how to do my job." He goes, "Not that I'm better than anybody." He goes, "But I like myself, and I like to be by myself, and I like to do my own thing." So Montana's good for him. He said that he picks mushrooms, like not the crazy ones, but the food kind.
You still got to get out and interact with people once in a while, even if it's like in a store setting.
Oh, totally.
Just to see people
every
even
once
sometimes
in a while, yeah.
And just talk to a cashier. I mean,
but here's the funny thing. He said he lives in a town with a population of 20, and he's lived there for 5 years, and he still only knows like half the people in the town. He goes, "We're just getting to where we wave at everybody." Like,
yeah.
But it's so spread out, you know. So. Wow. And then Clancy and Helena aren't too far. You know, they're like the size of Lebanon or something. Uh-huh. And, he said he just stays out there. He cuts wood in the wintertime and sells that from. He said he don't have to have a job because he
20 people.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
In the town,
that's smaller than Waterloo, man.
I was like, 20 people live on our street, dude. And he goes, "I know." And you live in Brownsville.
Yeah,
you know, my street from the highway to the end is probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 houses.
And it's probably more dispersed. So there's probably
at least 2 people live in each of those houses.
Because everybody over there's got their own dental floss field.
This cul-de-sac probably houses 40 people, right? At least 50, because there's at least 2 people in each house. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, you know, except for your house.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know.
For the majority, there's some with 3, which would equal out.
If you counted the people in this cul-de-sac, it'd probably be about
100,
you know, 60 to 100, just,
right,
you know.
20, 30 houses.
Yeah, if you counted the crazy lady across the street, yeah, you know, easily. Easily, just the houses up here of the people that I know, there's probably 20 people in the house.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to believe.
4 or 5 houses.
Hard for me to believe a town of 20 people, and then and then you don't even know everybody in the town.
Exactly, especially when there's more than one person in a house. You think of 20, and you think of like 20 farms or whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's about 5.
And see, he was one of those kids that kind of started getting a little bit of trouble, because Brownsville's a place where there's not a lot to do.
And not a lot of... cop activity, would you say?
Well, like? Yeah, enough. There's enough,
but I mean,
deputies.
Like, you know, I mean, you could probably get away with more than you could.
So I don't know if you know this, but most of my listeners probably don't. This guy that I'm talking about is actually a son of someone who called into the podcast one time, old Drunk Wade, and you know Drunk Wade. So he's not too fond of his dad. He's his dad, so he loves him.
Sure.
But his dad has a reputation around his hometown as being this drunk.
Drunk Wade.
Drunk, tweaked out dude who's always like, yeah, boss, what the fuck? I'm like,
sure.
So he comes back to town, and the first thing people are saying, oh.
You're not the only one that calls him Drunk Wade.
See, has seen your dad? And he's like, please, don't even, you know, come on. He's my dad, and I love him, but don't. And then it's sure enough, like right before I saw him, I'm over at my friend Farmer Tape Nose's house, and another guy's over there. He's like, yeah, Drunk Wade was out there by your house a couple nights ago. He was like, he was totally trying to fight me. And it was like, because I'm surprised you guys didn't hear us. It was like midnight, 1 o'clock, and he's like, babe, I'll fucking kick your ass, you piece of shit. And he's like, look, I got my back to you, dude. Come at me. He's like, I'm trying to get the guy to fight me because I'm tired of him. He's like, bellowing at me every time he sees me. I'm going to kick your ass. He's like, why don't you do what you said and take me under the bridge and fucking beat the fuck out of me? And he's like, fucking piece of shit. But
he just wants to yell.
From afar, you know, he's yelling and saying, I'm going to kick your ass. And he's like, come on, dude, come over here so you can kick my ass because I'm tired of you. And then I find out later he got a fucking, not because of it, but he does have a bear taser. Not Wade, but the guy that he was taunting.
Sure.
3 million volts, dude. He went, and it sounded like 10 bug zappers.
Wow.
He's like, you just go, one of his step.
Oh, I've been thinking about getting a bug zapper.
Dude, this is a, oh, man, it looks like a camera. He takes it out of his little pack and.
You know what would be fun is to try to catch a fly with those.
Dude.
Like while it's flying.
Dude, it would like blow into pieces.
Dude,
probably.
Be awesome.
Because this will stop a bear in mid.
I was fucking chasing down a fly yesterday and he was laughing at me. I could tell, man.
You
I could
were fucking
tell.
With flies a couple weeks ago, last
I know.
Month.
I mean, I had to, like, get up, and I was, like, I stood over there by the door because that was, like, the best vision I had with the amount of white spaces around me, and he was over by the window, I think, because the fan provides the cool air.
Right.
I had a fucking, I had a sweater to, like, throw at him on, the, like a drag net to keep him on the ground if that happened. I had, like, rolled up papers to swat. I was swatting, like, 3 or 4 times, like, just right behind him as he was flying away.
Were you pretending you were Joe Friday? Because you drag net. You drag.
Dragnet.
Yeah, so, you know, if you ever really get pissed at flies when you're having, you know, they're laughing at you and they're landing on you when you're trying to sleep and you're trying to swat them and they're getting away, you can do what we talked about. You can put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
And tie a string on their leg and you could have like.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
15 flies all like on one key ring and they'd be all like.
They could lift your keys up.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
dude,
if
what
you.
What if you froze like 1,000?
Dude, 1,000 fly power.
And then tied them and then like. When somebody was sleeping drunk at a party, you, like, tied it around them.
Or,
like, the flies lifted them up.
Let's say you had, like, 100 or 200 or 1,000 flies. They're all froze comaed. They're all in a frozen coma.
I wonder how long they would last in there, like, if they would last a couple days and then be able
we
to
would just wait. And, we would just wait, like, 5 minutes, and we'd look in the freezer, and they'd be already slow and getting dormant and stuff. So I don't know. If you froze them forever, they'd probably die.
Maybe
not. That's weird. We should try.
Cryogenic?
Yeah.
Well, the thing I
but
used
what
to...
if you just took like a bowl of 300 flies and then someone's wasted and they have like a small bedroom?
Yeah.
And you just put him in there and then when he wakes up, there's 1,000 flies flying around in his room.
Oh, that'd be weird.
He'd be like, Amityville. You put Amityville Horror on the DVD player and fill the room with flies and then you come in with a priest outfit. Get out!
Yeah. Like, yeah, that'd be awesome.
1,000 flies. I wonder how long it would take to catch a 1,000 flies. Flies only live like 3 days.
That is true. So you would actually, if you cryogenically froze them for like a week, you'd bring them back like
super powered.
3 generations later, he would have no idea what was going on. They'd have
because
like,
then that'd be like 300 years.
Yeah, it would be. It would be like he'd come back and all of a sudden flies would have cars and internet.
Like, I thought
TV.
By now we'd all be driving around in fucking robot mobiles.
Yeah.
But instead,
like, You'd be like asking flies, what year is this?
But we're still getting thread tied to our fucking leg in the freezer.
Yeah, we haven't figured that out yet.
So when I did one back in the day, it was almost the pins weren't as bulky as this, like say a regular plain Jane Bic pin.
Yeah.
That's
your
just
10
about
cent pin.
That's about as much. He was just like a hummingbird.
Yeah.
And he couldn't go up. He could go down if he gave up a little bit, but yeah, they can hold about a pin. That's
right.
About
so
how
was
much
it lifting up off the ground or anything?
Oh yeah, he was flying.
Oh okay,
he was flying, but he couldn't get any higher. Huh. He couldn't get past like
now
eye
you
level.
You need a fly Olympics. Which one can carry the fly or the pin the farthest?
Fly Olympics, exactly. You could get one of those big ass bullfly or those horse flies that are huge. I bet those fuckers could lift like.
Now I got an idea for you right here, dude.
Are we
tie three flies to the same thread. So, like, you have them all
like
tied.
Like Iditarod?
Yeah. But, no, they'd probably be flying in different directions. Yeah, so it'd be just like a little weird
They'd learn to work together, you'd
maybe.
Think.
Maybe.
Where they're like, what are you doing?
Dude, you can get government money to try to test the teamwork of flies if they work in a team.
But unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to utilize it because they only fucking live for 3 days.
But people do like the cow burp and shit like that. That doesn't make any. Well, it makes sense because of the methane gas and then the atmosphere. But I don't think that. I don't think the methane gas from cows is the biggest atmospheric problem.
Yeah. When I was talking to Noah from Montana about. The last time I visited Montana in Helena, and I got bit in the mouth by a spider when I was sleeping. That just goes to prove that you probably do swallow like 9 spiders in your life or whatever, because you sleep with your mouth a year.
Yeah, it's a year.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to rather think that it's my lifetime. So sure. Just let me Google that later, and then I'll be. No, I didn't know it's a year. I just don't like to think that. But anyway, so you sleep with your mouth open.
You eat more. You
it's
eat
a nice
more
warm
fly
place.
Eggs and spaghetti sauce than that, though.
It's a nice warm place, and so the spiders crawl in there and they fuck around or whatever. And he bit me on the lip, you know, on his way out or whatever. And he's like, "Oh man, there's tons of spiders and snakes in Montana." He goes, "But you can't really kill them." He goes, "Because of the fly population." He goes, "There's the flies are out of control in Montana." Yeah. Apparently, I don't know why, but they have a lot of flies, so they got to keep lots of snakes. And the rattlesnakes and stuff are starting to come in their house because it's that summer. Time. I don't know why. It seems like they come in the house when it's cold. Oh, because they're probably hibernating like a bear in their
snake probably bed. Just cooler.
We found a good sized bull snake in our yard.
They're
like
warm blooded, right?
Yeah.
And so they probably prefer a cooler area, unless they're like a desert snake.
I don't remember if I mentioned it last week, but yeah, we've got about a 4-foot bull snake in our yard.
Wow.
It was about that big around, and nobody that can see is about the size of my cock around.
You leaving it?
No, we took it across the street. We didn't kill it.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to bring your trimmers back. My buddy wanted to cut its head off with those Fiskars. Dude, we need that snake. It keeps the mice and the other things away, and it's good for people's gardens. And so Dan is all, "Oh my God, I can't believe that snake's around here." And I was like, "They've always been around here. You just haven't seen them." And she's like, "I've lived here 3 years and never seen a snake like that." And I go, "Well, I lived here like for 25 or 30 years and then came back and lived another 3, and I've seen them, but not in a long time." I go, "You know all those rocks back in the backyard?
Anywhere
where
you get fields, you're going to have mice, you're going to have bigger spiders."
Well, we got a good little rock den kind of thing that they built the car wash lot on that's in our backyard that's a good 3 or 4 feet up, and it's a perfect little snake den, and she didn't realize that, and I told her, and she's like, "Oh, my God, there's probably snakes in there." I go, "Yeah, but they help us, and if you don't fuck with them, they're not going to fuck with you." Yeah. I mean, so
well,
she's like,
I'm doubtful that they're poisonous.
No, it would hurt you, but it wouldn't kill. I mean, it would hurt to get bit.
Yeah.
And it might get infected because of it's a bite.
A bull snake, I don't think, is really
And they're not
venomous.
Even vicious. They don't even like to attack. But
they're the ones that kind of look like a rattler, though, right?
Yeah, it scared her. You know, she's like, "Oh, my
God."
They
got the diamonds on them?
She's like, "I'm kind of diamondy." And she's like, "I'm used to seeing the garter snakes." And she's like, "That thing is like 10 times the size of a garter snake." And
I saw a garter snake the other day just on the street.
Yeah.
You know, you see those that come out.
We see them in the river sometime, and then she doesn't want to go swimming because there's snakes. I saw a snake. I said, "There's always snakes in the river, and you go swimming. You just don't see them."
You're not going to find a venomous snake, probably, unless you go out into, like, a deserty area.
Yeah, some people were talking about copperheads being around.
Really?
A lady killed a snake because it was in her garden, and
that's
she thought
a rattler, right?
No, I don't think it, no? It doesn't have a rattle, but it's it's poisonous though.
Yeah,
it's like a pit viper. It's got the triangular. You can
they're real skinny, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they got really white inside their mouth, hence the name cotton mouth. Oh, did I say copperhead? I meant cotton mouth, which I have right now. Cotton mouth snake. He smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah.
That snake smokes a lot of grass, man. That's why I can't get rid of him.
Have you ever played a violin?
I have, actually. My grandfather passed one down to me. It needs some work. I actually, when I first borrowed it from him back about 1990-something, the first thing I tried to do was learn The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, yeah?
I had it pretty much, and I had it good enough to where I could play it for people, and they would trip out.
Mm-hmm.
They would just think I was awesome. So it's a good one of those fool people into thinking you can really play something by just learning one thing that looks really or sounds kind of hard.
Well, yeah, but if you learned that one thing,
I could probably
that learn, being the one,
yeah,
you know, that is impressive.
The hard thing about it is there are no frets.
Sure. You got to kind of go with, if you hit it in the wrong spot, you kind of got to bend it to get there, right?
I can't do the long, drawn-out vibrato strokes. Uh-huh. It just sounds like nails on a chalkboard. But I can, so I can't really play the violin, but I can play the fiddle because there's a difference. Even though it's the same exact instrument, it's all about how you play it. And if you're going, that's kind of fiddle music, you know. And even though there's...
fiddling with it.
Yeah, when there's fast music in classical stuff, that's still, that's playing a violin. You're like... classical stuff is violin. Hillbilly music, that's just fiddling around.
Yeah.
Fiddling about, as Keith Moon would have said.
Just grabbing an instrument and just fiddling around with it.
Yeah, and that's kind of easier because you don't really got to really...
People say you fiddle with the drums.
Quit fiddling with that. Quit fiddling with the knobs.
Yeah.
I wonder how you fiddle with a stereo knob. Don't fiddle with those.
It's like,
my grandma used to always tell me, now, don't be fiddling around with that stuff. And I'm like, I'm fiddling?
I know. I don't even have a bow.
Yeah, come on. Give me some fucking horsetail.
Yeah, you want me to get some cat guts stretched out on a piece of wood?
I always thought that was a weird thing that they called the strings for a classical guitar, cat gut strings, but I guess they were really made from that.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. I think... Other various guts too. They probably experimented with a lot of things. But do you know the difference between a Stradivarius and a regular, right?
Yeah, mine's a Stradivarius copy.
Yeah. But you know how they have a deeper, richer tone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's been a mystery, right? Like, why do these Stradivariuses
and that's
have
why
this
they're
tone?
Worth so much money. Yeah. I don't, do you know the mystery?
I do. I have a theory because I watched this the other day, the Ice Age. Which right around the same time the Ice Age happened, and Stradivarius started making these things, and the Ice Age slowed the growth of trees, which made it denser wood. The rings were shallower rather than wider, which created a better musical resonance.
Wow.
And, so it was around the same time, and also the trees were like in a loose soil because... You know, it was right around after the, during the famine.
Right.
You know, so it was real loose soil and these funky trees, and they think that that was probably what caused that deep resonance.
So I wonder if, like, trees in more Arctic areas, like maybe not just because it's called this, but Iceland and Greenland and stuff like that, if maybe the wood from those areas would be better to make more high-quality instruments that have a better resonance for maybe hollow body guitars.
Could be.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. And also, during this Ice Age. That's
interesting.
During this Ice Age, they lived, because the Ice Age froze all the grapes. And they were big wine, European wine drinkers. So they lived for 200 years without, like, good wine production. And that is when the popularity of beer and hard alcohol came along.
All right. Thank you for the Ice Age.
Yep. And then, and so that became the culture of Ireland, the thing, rather than, like, the European wines and stuff, and then probably, like, in Germany and France and all that, to where, you know, they moved and they brought their hard liquor and grain, and then you know, you go back into the then it's prohibition from there.
Yeah, and then they get rid of the prohibition, and there's just alcoholics everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, I feel bad for people that can't help but drink so much, because not only is it killing you slowly, and you know, I'm not anyone to preach because I do shit that I, you know, I smoke.
Yeah,
cigarettes, and I smoke weed and whatever.
I'm not a big fan of, like, but heavily like, drinking.
And then, like, just going out.
I have no right to say, because I smoke a lot of weed.
Well, yeah, but it's more, to me, is more of the safety of themselves and others when they get behind the wheel.
Certainly, certainly.
I don't mean to, I'm not talking shit, I'm talking concern. We've talked about my friend many times on the show. His parents were dicks, and they named him Dan Dannon. Mm-hmm. And he went recently through some shit, you know, and he had to go to some alcohol and drug classes, and he did very well. And he was very, whatever you call it, not proficient, but he was
studious.
He did it, man. He abstained 100%. He was a different man. He came to my house a lot.
Did what he had to do.
We talked. I would smoke weed in front of him. He wouldn't smoke because he couldn't. And now, that's hard. That's good willpower. And I thought he was going to be... I just enjoy his company way better when he's straight. Now he's finished his classes and he just gets, he drinks like three of those big fucking tall Becks.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to get
24 ouncer or whatever.
Yeah, so three of those is like a six pack, and that's a little stronger than regular beer. And then he just hops in his car and drives off, and I'm just like, dude, really, man. And I don't want to try to be...
Nothing you're going to say.
I'm not trying to be... I tell him that. Dude, I'm not trying to tell you what to do or how to do... You know, you're older than me. I know, respect your elders, right? But you shouldn't be doing that, man. I'm concerned about you. And he's like, yeah, I know. And then he won't come around for like a week. Well, we were gone to the comedy show, and he stopped by, and they said, Dan Dannon come by. He was wasted, and he got in his car and drove off. And I'm like, fucking damn it. But, you know, there was people at the bar at the comedy show that were wasted, and they were all on, like, either on foot. Well, they weren't wasted, but...
That's different there, though.
A lot of my friends came out and biked. Yeah. We had to wait for a train after the show.
Waiting for a train.
Dude, that was the longest train, and the train went by during my set. Dude, yes, it wasn't by Safeway on Queen. Those are shitty trains.
Was there some of those Harrisburg trains used to be pretty slow, right?
Yeah, and this one wasn't that slow. Well, it was not super fast because it's right through town, but downtown there at 5th and Pearl and Eugene, and God, it was at least 12 minutes, and it never stopped. Wow. It didn't do like the Safeway thing where it backs up and then goes slow and then goes the other way.
Where it's like three trailers long, but it still takes
20 minutes. Exactly. So, but that was kind of cool. I'll get into that a little bit before I forget, because we've been just yapping away. It's good times here. Thanks for listening on a Monday, you guys. I had that comedy show, and it was awesome. Like, I don't know, at least five people came that told me they were coming to see me. Actually showed up. You know, usually they'll, oh yeah, when you got a show? And most any comics that are listening know, as a smaller level comic, your friends always say, dude, that's so awesome you do stand up. I have to check out your act. But then they'll say, just tell me a couple jokes. And I'm like, no, dude, it's not the same.
Well, it's right there. If that's what they say, then you know that they're not going to appreciate going to a comedy club, right?
That. Why do they say that? Hey, or they'll say, hey,
I don't understand.
Or they'll say, hey, Terry, meet these friends of mine. And they're like, yeah, he plays music and he's a stand-up comedy. Tell him a joke. Show him how funny you are. Yeah. I'm like,
or like, you'll go over to somebody's house and you'll see like a piano or instrument, and then you'll pick it up, and then people start throwing requests at you.
Oh yeah, don't you know that song? And if I did, I don't
you
feel
play
like
a piano, and everybody's like, hey, play Piano Man.
Yeah, don't you know that Elton John song? Fucking whatever.
Oh, you know how to play anything? Play that.
But yeah, it's great. Carmichael McGee. I don't know. He doesn't go by that name anymore. It's Mike McGowan. But if he's listening, thanks, bro. Because, dude, that was the best I've been compensated for a comedy gig. He gave me a fat sack. Actually, it was a napkin. And I immediately had to take it to my vehicle because I just was so strong smelling. Andy Andrus was there, got to chat with him, and we're like, hey, you going to do a guest set tonight? And he's like, no, I can't be doing a stand-up at bars in Eugene. He goes, I'm a big-time movie producer now, so Yeah, he's totally joking, but he's being serious. He's like, no, but seriously, Paul Provence will be in town next week. You know who that guy is?
Yeah.
He's worked with Roseanne and some other
sure,
people.
Sure, that Green Room comedy. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah, yeah.
The Green Room?
Yeah, so he's helping him with the
big time
movie.
Big time, you know, not just a comedian, but a comedian's comedian.
Movie
where
producer.
He's about... you know, just the lifting comic scenes as a whole.
Right.
You know, a big advocate of the... That Green Room show is great.
Yeah.
I like watching it where he gathers like four or five comics together and they mm-hmm. all just like... Almost basically.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Podcast kind of.
It's a trade show basically
exactly.
where they sit there and...
What happens
and,
to them and what they do and how they...
Yeah. Yeah, they throw around funny stories and it's great.
Yeah, so that's moving forward and going to be coming out, the Andy Andrist...
That's great.
Child
that's
molester
awesome.
Scheme. And, you know, he's usually pretty quiet and introverted in a public scene.
Sure.
He was super open. Like, my wife struck up a conversation with him and... was asking about, you know, different stuff, and he just was blah, 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 talking, mm-hmm. and he had this funny hat on, and it was just cool hanging out with Andy, and then we went outside and smoked some weed, and then I thought, of course, he'd probably take off, because he's good friends with Mac and Chris, and I've met him on occasion, but it seems, you know, now he recognizes me and says hello, which is always awesome to meet people, but check this out. Not to toot anybody's own horn, but I had an awesome set on Friday, actually... My friend Jim Lauderdale has seen probably 10 of my performances. He said, best ever. Andy Andrus actually came up to me and said, dude, that was really good. He goes, that's funny stuff, funny stuff. And that's like Don Frost telling me, good stuff. It really makes me, as a comic, you hit and miss because you do dive bars when you're, and people don't listen. And
it's always good to have feedback, you know?
And so like.
And when you don't hear it, like. From
I think
the same
there was,
person every time, you know, it means more.
Five
right?
comics that I kind of respect as peers in the Eugene comedy scene, including McGowan and Jason Eifler and Mac Chase and Andy and Chris, all told me, dude, you killed. It was awesome. I did 20 minutes and I had no flub ups. I did have my paper up there, but it's a tough room sometimes because people are, it's a bar and they're talking and I was kind of dreading it because mm-hmm. the dude from LA went before me. He was pretty funny and Mac Chase did a set who I think is super funny and people weren't really listening mm-hmm. and he was having to talk louder, trying to get people to be quiet because I'm telling a joke right now. Mm-hmm. And then once I got the first joke and I did my black pussy joke, which mm-hmm. I don't ever open with, but it killed. I said, I didn't say anything. I went on the stage and said,
when I opened with the corn joke?
Yeah. Yeah. That killed.
Yeah.
Killed the room.
It did.
No, but I just went up there and said, hey, my friend asked me if I've ever seen black pussy. And they just chuckled at that. And I was like, growing up in a small town in Oregon, I had to think about it. And then I had to answer no, only on the internet. And then when I said that it was a band from Portland that recently played at the Wandering Goat, they fucking cracked up at that. And usually it's hard for me to not just keep talking. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm doing right now. But I was being very diligent and forcing myself to leave long.
Sure.
If I heard a chuckle, I would wait and I would stop and I would just look at them and then more people would laugh. So I'm learning that the pauses, just like in music,
sure.
the pauses are almost as important mm-hmm. as the music itself. So, it was
a
good time.
You gotta give people a chance to catch up.
And then I think he gave me like $30 or $50 and like,
it's awesome, man.
5 grams of weed and I got $11 worth of food. My wife came out. Max Brockman was there. A lot of my peers, and it was a good time. You know, usually they don't come out unless they're performing, and they were all there. So,
you know what I want to see? You know, because comics are a prankster bunch, right?
Oh yeah.
So what if like you're watching your friend? Like, what if those guys are watching you, and they're just like, man, that guy's killed.
He's coming
so they
up.
Call 911, and they say, hey, this guy's down over
Cornucopia.
Here. He just killed a bunch of people, man. He's killing.
He's like, he killed a room full of people.
Yeah.
They're all laughing about it, too.
Yeah, and so they come down there, and then...
Almost forgot mm-hmm. the topper of the show. Like, I said, so where's Chris? Because he hadn't showed up. It was almost like the first comic was on, and he wasn't there. And McGowan's all, you know, what's weird is like him, no one will tell me anything about what's going to happen. I go, what's going to happen? He goes, I don't know, but they alluded to something that they won't indulge on. And he goes, and I just have a feeling it's going to be shitty for me. And then when Chris got there, him and his other roommate were dressed in full drag. I mean, he's got a beard, so and he had eye makeup on, and he had his hair straightened, and he had this really tight dress on and high heels, and he was walking around all fucking sassy and gay, and his name was Roxy, and he was just, like, talking to people, like, whatever, and he's just like, what are you looking at, you stupid piece of shit? He goes, have you ever been to Eugene, Oregon? My God. So all night, he's in this persona of Roxy. So he gets up there on the stage, and he's just like, telling all of his regular jokes that I've heard 100 times for the last 3 years, but he's telling it like Roxy, and he's like, do you guys ever think you hate someone because of the color of their skin? He goes, they're like a corn dog, right? They're all orange and crunchy on the outside, but still pink and sweet in the middle. They got to walk around with a stick up their ass. And everyone's just, I mean, he's killing. He's making me look like I sucked because, and then people are walking in randomly because this is a bar downtown. They just walk in and there's a dude on stage in a tight dress with a beard and makeup talking like a sassy ass saying, oh, hi. Can't you read the sign? It says, please watch your step. He's all, watch your step. And she's like looking at him like, and then she's, and everybody's like laughing and clapping at her because she's coming in out of context wondering why is there, the LA comic when Chris showed up finally. Chris showed up like right before my set and he just goes sauntering through from the back and then he stops and he puts his hands on his hips and he looks from side to side and the guy's on the stage telling his jokes and he kind of stops for a second and he's like, fuck, man, I thought it was weird in L.A. I thought things were supposed to be a little bit normal up here in Eugene. He's like, does transvestites just come walking through? And I was like, that's the headliner. And he's like, oh, never mind. Good friend of mine. You've probably seen him around town. Give it up for him. And he goes, isn't that what you say when you introduce someone? So it was pretty funny because he was making fun. And then, like, everybody that walked in out of context was just like, oh, my God. And his friend had, like, a blue wig and all makeup, but you could tell it was a guy. They had the fake tits and short skirts and stuff. And it was pretty surreal. Wow. It was kind of cool because I've never seen Chris perform in drag before, and he's moving away. Aww. I'm going to miss that dumb son of a bitch. I told him that, too. But whatever. I think it'll be good for him to get down there.
You know.
He's half Mexican.
Yeah, that is.
He'll be closer to Mexico.
He'll be closer to Amish country.
Austin. Ostish.
Yeah.
No, where is Amish country?
Isn't it up Philadelphia?
North, yeah.
Kind of. That kind of area. There's a few different communities, but I was watching Breaking Amish.
Yeah.
Because I watch that.
Yeah, always. Do you watch it religiously? Do you watch it religiously?
Only because, man, I got a lot of free time on my hands, and so
hey, there's nothing better.
A lot of different shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'm watching this, and there's a little thing going on because they all went down to Florida to get away with, like, because they're ex-Amish now. And so, you know, there's the communities that they have to try to fit into are ex-Amish because they don't fit in with the English. Because, you know, they don't have that kind of background, and they try to, you know, they dress and they consider themselves English now, but not a lot of English people understand what they're going through, so they try to, like, reach out to ex-Amish, but the ex-Amish, you know, see these Amish people that are ex-Amish being followed around by cameras.
That almost makes me laugh every time you say ex-Amish. I don't know if that's just a funny word, but, so have they been, like, ousted from the community because
they have, and two of them got married, and then the son's mom left to try to go and find them, and then she went back to the community and she was shunned.
Ooh.
And so when they all decided to go to Florida as a group, get back together and go to Florida, her and her daughter left the Amish community. And now she's like, you know, she's a mother. She's raised like 5 or 6 grown kids, right? And only lived Amish. And now she's like, she can't just keep away from the booze. She's loving it. She's like, cranberry juice is good, but it's a whole lot better with vodka. And so she's drinking all the time now. It's funny. And she's totally like Amish mom, and these other kids are like in their early 20s trying to live, and she's like, I could just bust out the paddle right now and paddle a couple of you, you know?
She's momish.
Yeah. But the funny part is, though, that they got invited to this party.
Right.
Ex-Amish party. And they went to this bar and of the ex-Amish, you know, where a lot of ex-Amish are. And the ex-Amish aren't, like, having none of this because these guys have been on TV and have been, you know, kind of like, we don't want to be Amish anymore. So they're kind of bad, man. Even the ex-Amish don't like it, I guess. But the funny thing was, when this ex-Amish and the blurred face and the disguised voice, he's like, we don't like these guys because they've been giving the Amish a bad name. They're all going around talking about how the Amish have sex with sheep. And,
ooh.
And that's that doesn't happen all the time. It's just a once in a while type of thing. They don't need to be talking about it.
They're like, does that really happen? They're like, nah.
Yeah, it's just a once in a while type of thing. They don't need
to be talking
about
it. It's an isolated incident. You know, it's just not because.
I thought that was hilarious.
Even regular Christians fuck sheep sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just there's a few and far between.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've never watched it, but I'm kind of interested in it. I just wonder.
It's not worth watching, really.
Yeah.
There's a lot of better things to watch.
Yeah, my wife's been watching that Gypsy Family Wedding or My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding or whatever, because they, like, set up their kids. The marriages are predetermined and stuff like that. So, and when they're 16, they get married to whoever they say they're supposed to get. Weird shit it's weird to me that shit goes on in the United States, you know, because.
Yeah.
See, you know, the land of the
free. It goes around a lot in other, you know, underdeveloped countries, but.
Yeah, that's why it blows me away that it happens in America, because, well, why? I guess because America's supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. You shouldn't be doing that to your kids in the first place, and the kids should be able to say, hey, I don't have to do that.
Crosby,
this is fucking America.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash were for arranged marriages, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. They said, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, which is what you would have to be. That would have to be your philosophy.
I thought you were going to talk about
if you're in a prearranged marriage, right?
Teach your children well.
Yeah, you're going to grow to love whoever you're with. That would be their basic philosophy.
Even
right?
if it's your uncle from a third marriage. Because <Yeah. laughs> so yeah, you guys, if you've never watched Broken Amish, don't worry about it. But if breaking, I call it broken.
All they're broken too.
Okay, so let's get to this before I forget. Celebrity birthdays today. Can you guess who he is and how old he is?
Richard Marx, 48.
No, that's a good guess. We thought I put him in the death pool after Jeff Hanneman and Ray Manzarek, Barry Manilow. How old do you think Barry? He used to be a backup piano player for Bette Midler before he broke Amish.
Wow.
But how old do you think old Barry is?
I could picture him being Amish.
Broken Amish.
Yeah, 63.
That's pretty good. He's 70.
Wow.
70 today. And definitely older than I thought.
Band-Aid stuck on him.
Yeah, because Band-Aid stuck on him. Mm-hmm. And that's the other cool thing is that he had that song, I Write the Songs.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't write that song.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing. A dude from the Beach Boys wrote that.
And another one, he wrote the Oscar Mayer-Wiener song. And ooh. I think he wrote the State Farm is there.
Like a good neighbor.
Yeah, and
Barry Manilow is there.
There's something else. Barry Manilow.
Woo. Also birthday today, older than I thought he was, maybe you can guess closer, big influence in the punk rock world, even the spoken word and all that.
Oh.
Jell-O Biafra. Happy birthday to you, Jell-O. Jell-O pudding.
I would like that even seems old.
Well, we'll get to that. He was only 55, but I thought he was older than that. But I would like Bill Cosby to wish him a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Jell-O. Jell-O Biafra.
That's funny.
So, yeah, he's 55. Also born on the same day, Jell-O Biafra, so you can't guess. One of the Farrelly brothers, Bobby Farrelly. I love their movies. Those guys are funny.
Bobby Farrelly. Are that old?
Well, just one of them. He's 55, yeah. I don't think they're twins, are they?
No. Who was it you just said before that?
Jell-O Biafra.
Okay.
Can't you hear him?
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
I already forgot.
Hey, you know what I did see recently was kind of cool was the Foo Fighters with Serge Tankian from System of a Down doing Holiday in Cambodia.
No, that'd be weird. That'd be a good, great. Dude. That'd be a great song for Serge to do.
Yeah, because he does it so good.
Yeah, because he's a very, very
Holiday in Cambodia. And the Foo Fighters.
I'm
were just
so done with
that
those
shit.
Guys, though.
The Foo Fighters.
No, I'm talking about System.
Oh yeah.
Of a
Down. Okay. Good.
Yeah. You know, Toxicity. I play the shit out of that album. It's a great album to drive.
I know it has no shit left in it.
Yeah. But it's
what the fuck's going on?
Other than that, I don't know. They're a little that Toxicity sure burnt the crap out of them, didn't they?
Oh yeah,
didn't it?
Oh, I think
great
so.
Album, but you know
they played it so much on the radio.
You could
know?
Probably put it up there with like La Sexorcisto, which yeah. you know is a great album on its own. Yeah. Hey, not like in the same style, but you know.
Hey, I got to. Oh yeah, come on.
Oh yeah, come on. Ow.
So this should have been a giveaway, but I couldn't help myself but play it at the beginning of the show. What's in Hans's CD player today?
Mm-hmm.
New Black Sabbath.
Wow.
I skipped the song Hans today because I just didn't feel like doing it, and it's Monday, and I have sweat on my lip because it's hot, and it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, belated to you, Hans, our number one listener.
You know what happened the other day?
What?
I was trying to call my health care.
Mm-hmm.
And get
those.
A prescription refill. So I was going through like the numbers in my phone. Right? And I hadn't had a chance to enter in Hans's number yet. Like it being Hans or whatever.
Right. So it was just coming as a random number.
Yeah. And so I'm like flipping through and I'm like, oh, well, that kind of looks like the number. So I press it. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello. This is Hans. And I'm like, oh, sorry, Hans. I called the wrong number.
But it was Hans?
It was Hans. I was trying to call my, get a prescription refilled.
Oh, I'm surprised. He must have thought it was important he answered his phone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he must have if I was calling.
I didn't think because, Hans answered his phone. Well, actually, I did because I've seen him answer it.
Yeah.
When he's at practice, his phone will ring and he'll say, I got to take this, which I think that happened before.
It was a little bit awkward, Hans, but only because I didn't realize I was calling you.
I think we practiced one time in a band together, but it's been over a month. Excuse me. It's been like a month or two since Griefhammer's practiced, so I don't know if we're still a band anymore. I'm kind of sad about it.
You know who doesn't practice anymore either in a band?
Bill Ward.
Henry Wallins.
Henry Wallins?
Henry Wallins.
Well, what did he do? He retired?
He retired from music. He said he doesn't have that passion that he used to that would drive him to get on stage and give it his all. He doesn't feel like he can give it his all anymore.
Is he gonna
because
do
he's got, you know, so many other projects. He's like, you know... He's like, I spent a lot of time in that part of my life, and it's no longer like a number one passion for me. And so, you know, he does all sorts of things. He said he's still going to do the spoken word, and, you know, he does acting bits and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, he's still very involved, I would imagine, in music. But, you know, just doesn't have that... That desire to perform music anymore.
I wonder if he's still going to do, like, spoken word.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't take as much energy. Because
no,
if you've ever seen Rollins live, he fucking
it's
gets...
It's a different passion, too.
He gets pumped up and, like, does some push-ups and shit and fucking comes out in, like, a pair of shorts. Like, some gym shorts and nothing else. No shirt, no shoes. Just fucking gives it 110% for 110 minutes and just fucking... So I can understand that. He's over 50 now. And
yeah, and you got two Black Flag bands going around on tour this summer, right?
Yeah, I know.
And
at least
so,
one
you know,
before.
He probably thought that maybe he should say something about that as far as, like, why he's not touring with them or whatever, or why he isn't involved in either one or, you know, whatnot.
Whatnot, yeah. I say that sometimes, and whatnot.
Whatnot.
Oh, before
what's
I forget, I don't know what's in your junk drawer, but I was listening to some Acid Bath the other day, revisited Acid Baths, when the kite string pops. I usually just listen, I don't know why.
That's got a weird clown on the front.
Yeah, it's like a Gacy picture.
It is.
I think it was painted by John Wayne Gacy.
It makes sense because, you know, either that or somebody was trying to copy him very
Pretty
well.
Sure that one of those guys in that band had been writing to him and actually got some of his pictures or something weird like that, or got the rights to use it or something. And the weird thing about Acid Bath, I was surprised, is a kind of handpicked, produced, and signed to Rotten Records by the guitarist from DRI.
Wow.
Which is hardcore thrash punk. Mm-hmm. And the Acid Bath is kind of like a bit of thrash, but mostly like southern metal, doom, bluesy, fucking just awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever asked you before, Hansi, but you should check out some Acid Bath. You might not like them. Some people don't like their singer. His name's Dax Riggs.
I tried to check him out like a long while ago, but it didn't grab me.
Yeah,
but it's not like I went more than like three songs deep and trying.
Yeah.
You know, and we're talking 10, 12 years ago or whatever.
We are talking. Yeah. And that's what we do here. We talk, yeah. And thanks you guys for listening. We probably should get out of here.
What?
Isn't it over an hour now?
I suppose.
You got anything else you want to say today?
No.
Got anybody you want to tell the fuck off?
No.
I'd like to thank our great sponsors, Pizza Now and Complete Egg Resolutions. You could check out some of their new pizzas.
Yeah.
They got the Meteor, which is meatier than anything you've ever eaten, probably. Five different meats on there, bacon, Canadian bacon, sausage, seasoned hamburger, and pepperoni. That's all from memory. That's how good that shit is.
Oh, man.
I think it's like $13, but well worth it. It's like a $25 pizza anywhere else. And they will deliver if a minimum order of $15. So if you know, you throw in a soda or some breadsticks, there's your minimum order.
Yeah.
And they'll bring it out to you.
Pizzas and minimum order. Bam, right there.
Let's see what we got. You can call them up, 541-928-0900. They're located 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And they're ready when you are. There's usually no wait on large pepperoni or cheese.
Mm-hmm. Every time we go in there, we see them stacking up the pepperonis.
That's right. They also got the Barbarian, the Farm Battle, and the Meat Market.
If you like them on Facebook, too, like on Mondays and Tuesdays, I think, which are their slower days, you guys should go in there. But if you check them out on Facebook, some days it's like you
specials.
Go in there and you mention the Facebook post. And it's like you get free fucking pizza bites with any pizza order.
Yeah, and if you go in there and mention TagCast podcast, they'll say cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's about it, though.
And they'll go, where can I watch that?
I did misspeak. The Meteor is actually, it has Canadian bacon, seasoned hamburger, marinated meatballs, and a sprinkling of Stardust, which
you
is
part of the meat market.
Yeah, the meat market is what I was thinking of. That's the pepperoni bacon, Canadian bacon sausage.
That one I think is going to be my new favorite.
Yeah. Let's go get some fucking pizza. Also, Complete Ag Resolutions, keeping us on the air, or whatever you want to call it. Also, check out my website. Stick around after the show. My website's terrygowell.com. After the show, we got plugs for shows coming up. There's lots of good stuff. I added some new stuff to the list, so it's not just the same old, same old. Go to tagcastpodcast.com. Download every episode. It's like 170 episodes almost.
Yeah, and I just put it on repeat.
Dude, it would fill up your iPod probably. I don't know how many gigs you got. You think you could fill up an iPod with all of our shit?
Last time I checked, it was about 2 gigs.
And we haven't
talked about
this for a while, but if you like Frank Zappa, check out the Zappa TagCast at zappacast.com.
Yeah.
We are currently about 37 or so deep into like a 95 to 100 album excursion that we're going in a chronological order, reviewing every Frank Zappa album released. I mean, we're skipping a few here and there that are like greatest hits or we're being choosy, but we're going to do about 100. So I like doing 100.
Then after that, we'll do something.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a discography of Them Crooked Vultures.
Yeah.
This is just one.
Or a discography.
That's just one album.
So Miller Orchestra.
No. I was just thinking of bands that just only have one record.
Oh, all right.
We're doing the complete catalog of Chilliwack.
Nice.
Remember those guys?
No.
Canadian band from the 80s.
But
they had a song called Sausalito Summer Night.
Oh, I know that song.
Maybe we'll dig that up sometime for you guys. Yep. You like Canadian rock. Mm-hmm. It's not Geddy Lee's birthday, so he can fuck off.
We'll rush on out there and rock on.
Yeah, tune back in on Wednesday for the Hump Day episode. We ain't got no guests because we don't need no stinking guests. Floyd, would you please come on our show, you fucker?
Yeah.
I'm about sick of begging, and then I'm just going to come up wherever you are and just, like, shake your hand.
Come back over from Taiwan.
Oh, you Taiwan on in Taiwan?
Mm-hmm.
Your postcard.
Taiwan on the yellow rose.
Metal. Hey, Taggets. What are you doing? I'm going to tell you what you should be doing. Going out to see some comedy shows and some hard rock and some metal shows and, I don't know, just go to a bar and get drunk someday because it's good for the soul. You don't just want to sit in your house all the time. June 20th at the Wow Hall. Wowie, wow, Wow Hall. Pauly Shore. Weird.
What?
I don't know what's up. What's he going to do? He's going to tell jokes, I guess. Recite Biodome in its entirety. Go check it out. I think tickets are way overpriced, $20 or something, but go check them out if you love Pauly Shore. June 23rd, the TagCast podcast will be in Portland at the Comedy House doing interviews all day with comedians, and then afterwards we're going to head down to the Ash Street Saloon for Patrick Thomas Perkins' House of Merkins Down and Dirty Dark Comedy Showcase. Feature myself, Veronica Heath, who's been on Portlandia and the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, also Josh Lay, and some others, a lady down from Seattle that I don't recall her name, but it's going to be funny as hell. $5 donation. And hell is funny if you worship the devil. June 26th, Machine Head, Separation of Sanity, Proven, and American Roulette at the Hawthorne Theater. Three local bands getting opened up for a nationally headlining band. Kind of cool. Go check that out. June 28th, I will be doing a solo acoustic set at the Cosmic Pizza in Eugene, Oregon. That's on 8th. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's $10, all ages. Other bands include Milepost and the Tripwire Project. I think they've added a couple more that I don't know about yet. But if you go buy tickets online, make sure you click Terry Guile because it'll help me. And if you don't, I don't care because I'm not sure about those guys anyway. But come to the Cosmic Pizza June 28th. Should be fun. Also, if you're not in that area and you happen to be up in Portland that night, go see the Slayer tribute band Live Undead because they're kick-ass, featuring members of Body Bag and Everclear. Which is just weird. Also playing that night is Raptor and Coven. It's at the Ash Street Saloon. It's $10. It's 21 and over. It's 9 p.m. And 2 days later, a classic band that me and Gatch had the pleasure of opening for one time, MDC, along with Verbal Abuse and some other punk bands, also at the Ash Street Saloon. That's the 30th of June. It's a Sunday. 8 o'clock show, $10 at the door, 21
also,
and over.
2 days later, a new band name.
Yeah, 2 days later, band name. Also June 30th, if you're not 30th, I'm talking like I'm urban here. June 30th, if you don't happen to be in Portland, Oregon, come down to the Eugene area for Sambon's Garage Bleepin' Funny with your hostess Leanne Jashaway. It's a birthday. It's 8 p.m. It's not her birthday. I'm freaking out right now. It's a show. It's a free show. And it is a show, and you have to be 21 to get in, and it's 8 p.m., and there'll be no fucking cussing. It's bleeping funny. There'll be an improv troupe there as well. July 3rd, Rockstar Mayhem Festival with Rob Zombie, Mastodon, and Amon Amarth at the White River Amphitheater in Auburn, Washington. July 13th, it's 30-pound test with In Her Memory and guests at the Dixie Creek Saloon for Dave Wilson's birthday bash. That starts at 9 o'clock. It's free, and you got to be an adult with ID to get in. Black Flag at the Hawthorne Theater with Good For You and Piggy, July 18th. July 20th, also at the Hawthorne at 6 Feet Under with Decrepit Birth, Cannabis Corpse, and two other bands that I don't have right here. Every Time I Die is coming to the Hawthorne Theater on July 31st. And then we got a bunch more shows coming up. Doug Benson's coming to Salem on August 8th. Also Foghat in Albany, August 8th. The Melvins are coming. Black Sabbath, Gary Numan, Raven and Diamondhead, Creator and Overkill. Listen next week for information on all those shows. Right now, go out and do something. One of those things I just told you. And then come back and listen to TagCast podcast at our website. TagCastPodcast.com.